I'm gonna try this, Daryl. I'm on. We'll see.
Good.
All right. Well, for one, I want to start by saying thank you. Thank you to Beth for pulling this together. I know she was a lot of the brainchild, but also how many voices and people were involved in this. Thank you for your part of being a part of our communal celebration this morning with this. So thank you for your work. Thank you for so many of you in the choir. Even just hearing folks maybe sitting in the back help sing in harmony, which you'll see is some of our theme, is helpful. I find it really helpful. I find it helpful to listen to the play-by-play commentators when I'm watching sports. You know, do you find that helpful? If you watch sports, you don't. Let's say Tony Romo or Tom Brady, right? They're kind of the popular ones right now, and there'll be a play, and I've just seen something, but then they tell me what I've seen, right? I mean, there's a play, and I'm like, wow, that one just went for 30 yards, and they'll all of a sudden pull up their telestrator or whatever it's called with their little pen, and they'll be like, oh, you see here, there's two safeties deep, and so as they went, it opened up this area, and there'll be like this box that shows up, and he threw right to that area, and then check out this block by this guy over here that kept that area open, right? And all of a sudden, what I just saw, I see, because there's been an expert giving me commentary. Well, when Luke was writing his gospel, do you know that what happened in plays, Greek plays at the time, was when you wanted to, you're watching the play, you've seen it. But when you wanted to give a commentary on what was going on, do you know what they did? They had songs. They had songs to kind of step back from the plot and go, let's give you some play-by-play. Let's help you understand. Let's help you see what you're seeing. And so Luke, as he tells this story about the birth of Jesus, they were real songs, but he tells the true story by inserting these and including these four songs that are to give us as readers help to see, to really see what we're seeing. There's four of them I mentioned. We've talked about some of those this Christmas, but today we consider the third one, and that is the Gloria, In Excelsis Deo. They use these Latin terms, right, for these songs, that for when the scripture was in Latin. But this is the song that the angels sing. You see it in your worship guide, right? Right there under where it says, my short meditation. This will be shorter. But what if, like experts, like Tony Romo or Tom Brady, the angels are giving us commentary? What are they trying to say to us? How are they helping us see what we see? Well, I think I want to organize just around this idea. They are helping to answer the two questions that every human asks. It's been said that every human is trying to answer the question, what's wrong with the world? And what's the solution to that problem? What's wrong with the world, and what's the solution to that problem? And they address that. What's wrong with the world? Look at this verse 14. As they declare things at the very end, there's these parallels in here. You get earth and heaven, angels and men, and those kinds of things. There's other parallels. But what's happening on earth? Peace to men and women, to those on earth. Right? And so they are announcing this need for peace. And so we pause here and remember again, what's the Bible story? That peace isn't the awe of the spa. I made that up this week. Don't you like that? The awe of the spa, right? It's not the absence of conflict. It's not the absence of war, but it is this harmony of all the relationships, the way things were meant to be. As one thing I read this week put it, it's full harmonious relationships with God, ourselves, others, and his world, experiencing life as it is supposed to be. One of my friends this week, we were talking about this shalom, this peace that Jesus brings, and he said it's living in a way that nothing is missing and nothing is broken. This longing that we have for that. And so what's wrong with the world is that we go, I want that, but I don't have it. that everything seems broken. The Christian story is that there has been a rupture of this kind of peace, right? A rupture, an explosion. What's rupture mean? It's torn, broken, ripped apart, that the wholeness and flourishing that we long for is torn. And that makes sense in the Christian story, for we were made for this in the garden. But we were made for harmony with God, ourselves, others, in the world, but in our own devices, in our own wisdom, we rejected harmony with God. We tried to figure it out on our own, and as a result, we now are out of tune with God's harmony. All of creation, with our relationship with ourselves, with our relationship with one another, with our relationship with Him, and a broken creation. And so everything broke. There is now discord. Cornelius Plantinga is a scholar who has written a lot about this, and he has said that what has happened is that in sin there has been a vandalism of shalom, a vandalism of the peace. Think about it. If there is a beautiful park you want to go to, and what makes that park beautiful, right? The grass is lush, it's well kept, it's trimmed, it's, you can spread out a blanket and you just enjoy a picnic. You go to the playground and there are children enjoying a safe playground, a well-built playground, right? These kind of the facilities. You have good pavilions to meet in, you have bathrooms available, there may be a room to rent, right? But what happens if vandals come? They turf the grass, don't they? You can't lay your blanket out anymore because it's all uneven. They throw trash out on the grass. They come to the playground and they tear things down. The fences get torn down so the kids don't feel safe. The bars get bent and broken. The facilities get graffiti all over them. I mean, the illustration could just go on and on. That is what the Bible says has happened as we've tried to make peace on our own. And so that's what's wrong. And the angels come saying, I know you need peace. I know you long for peace. And in this Christ child, it is arrived, which is the solution, right? So that's not just the problem. They say, what's the solution? And the solution is that in this story of what God is doing, we give Him glory because in this Christ child, He is restoring. He is returning us. He is getting us on a path where all of that will be undone and made untrue eventually. And so in this babe, He is remaking the world because Scripture tells the story that in Jesus, we have a whole new community. He's the head of a new family that loves and serves God, in harmony with God, being made more and more into singing this story of flourishing with God. And part of singing that story is singing to the glory of God, right? That's their first phrase in this verse. Glory to God in the highest. What's that mean? Right? You glorify something when you give it honor. When you see its worth, when you rejoice in it and say, that's amazing, it's glorified. And they are saying that the story of Christmas and the solution to our problem is entering into this song of the magnificence of what God is doing in this Christ child. That they are finding Him as glorious, amazing, wonderful. They are honoring Him and amazed at His restoration that He's doing through the life here of this child that will lead to His death and restoration of all mankind. And so it leads to our question of, is God worthy of awe, of honor, of praise in what He's doing? Has He captured me the way? Isn't it interesting? Glory to God where? In the highest. I just kept thinking this week about the fact that these angels, they get the front row seat. The highest means they're in the very highest place, closest to God. And what do they see there? They don't go like, oh, he's a shyster. Oh, he doesn't live up to his promises. The ones who are experts on him go, whoa! He is doing this work, and he's doing it now in this child. And so again, we have to ask, is that woe feeding my soul more and more, because the truth is we find glory in many, many, many other things, right? To glory in something means that you treat it as the source of your identity, significance, security, or joy. It's what you look to say, if I have this, things will be okay. The problem will be solved. And so this is where we could list all the various things that we look to. What do I glory in? Is it going to be, I've got a list of 13, and I'm not going to read them all or talk about them all, but let's just take some of the classic ones. Achievement and success, right? That if I'm competent, the most glorious thing is being seen as competent and successful and having achieved. And that if I do that, I will give my life to it because it is the most glorious. It is the thing that will bring solution. And yet in doing that, as I started saying, failure then will become my greatest fear, the thing that devastates me. And so serving this glorious thing actually leads to bondage, or often we choose other things, such as, next on my list is approval, human praise, right? And the most glorious thing is being admired and respected by other people. But then if someone doesn't like me, I'm crushed, and that gets my flywheel all going, and that consumes me because this is my glory. Or, right, we just can continue our list from romantic love and family. It's the goodness of family is a glory, and yet it's not just enjoyed. It becomes the thing that will solve problems. Being loved by family or by a significant other, money, comfort, that we honor it, it's worthwhile in making life work, power, control, influence, our nation, culture, ideology, or even religion, where our greatest glory and honor is ourselves, right? Where what I've accomplished, where what I can do, my morality, my principled nature of pursuing this makes things right, versus glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those whom his favor rests. And we must remember that the glorious story is that God comes in Jesus out of favor, mercy, grace, are words the Bible uses. Not us getting it right, not us producing a different glory, but a receptiveness of a gift from him. Finding favor in the work of his son who has done that work for us. And so the angels invite us to be captured with the wonder and grandeur of what God is doing in his son. In the first Christmas and in every echo of Christmas since. And so I'll end where I started. If Tony Romo and Tom Brady are experts that give commentary on football, perhaps we need to take the expert angels and listen to them and ask God to engage our hearts, that we would find him glorious in his work in this little babe wrapped in a manger, coming to rescue all that's broken in the world. Amen. I believe we can.